The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Back to throw is Lamar Jackson. Over the middle, caught by St. Flowers and lunges for the end zone. They're going to say the ball's out. They're going to say the ball is out in the end zone. The Chiefs think they have the ball. They're going to say a touchback. The Chiefs recover the ball in the end zone.
Purdy out of the shotgun, drops a couple of steps, going to take a deep shot to Brandon Ayuk. It's the
flag. Oh, he caught it!
Caught! Ayuk caught it out of the air. A flag is also down.
Brandon Ayuk never gave up on the football and came down with it.
You know, we say it all the time, and we saw it play out in both games yesterday. Bounce the ball. A little fluke here, a little fluke there. All it takes to make a difference, a big difference, between going to the Super Bowl and staying home. We're going to break down, as you would expect, both championship games on this Monday edition of PFT Live, one of the most fun shows of the year for us. Chris Sims, Mike Florio here. Chris, how you feeling?
I'm good. I mean, I couldn't be better, really. I'm tired, all right? So I shouldn't say I couldn't be better. I'm tired. Like, that was an emotional day yesterday, 100%, right? Had a great weekend, really loved it, all, like, was built up for Sunday. I mean, even Saturday, I was, oh, I can't wait, sit on the couch, enjoy food, drinks, right? Smoky smoke, have a great time, enjoy these games, and they didn't disappoint at all. It really was unbelievable. From the get-go of the Chiefs-Ravens game, which I know we'll get into later, but was just mind-blowing, and what we're seeing from the Chiefs is unreal, to the second game where, yeah, I'm emotionally invested, as you know. It's one of my best friends in the world, and Shanahan, they're in trouble, right? It's like, oh, no, they're in crap, you know, they're in deep crap in the second half, and they rally back. So, yeah, I am tired. I'm tired from, you know, playing a little hard, enjoying the moments, and you know, being emotional about both football games, which they were both very close and a lot of fun to watch.
That whole conference championship weekend, and you probably feel the same way about this, after we spend, and we love what we do, but every week, Saturday, Sunday, especially me, because I travel every Saturday, to be home for a weekend, it's just weird. It's like, what is this? I go to bed on Friday night and I'm not counting the hours until I have to get in the car and go to the airport and fly to New York. What is this weird existence that has fallen out of the sky? Saturday was great, and it was like Christmas Eve because you knew what was coming the next day.
Right.
Seven straight hours of nonstop high stakes as it can get short of the Super Bowl. It was just a great couple of days. I mean, for me, I need to make my own holiday, and it needs to be every Saturday and Sunday of conference championship weekend. Now, I don't know about you, but I was feeling it yesterday for the first time. Like, usually when we get to that weekend, I'm happy to be home. I'm done. I'm glad we don't have to worry about doing games. I was feeling yesterday like, man, I wish we were doing one of these games. Were you feeling that?
Well, I don't know. I can't say that I was having that feeling. No, I was not. But I was nonetheless like, Well, I'll say there was moments of feeling that energy in the pregame, right? Like on CBS where I was like, damn, it'd be cool to be there right now. You know, I've been in that Ravens stadium, of course, before. It's a great stadium. It's loud. It's right on top of the field. So there was moments like that. But, no, I was very happy with not working and sitting on the damn couch. I really was.
I know. I got the answer. I got the answer. Look, there's no green in the green room in more ways than one.
There you go. Right. I mean, I got so emotionally. I got so emotionally invested, I started, like, getting it in the first game, started tweeting, okay? That's when you know I'm, like, I'm really excited about a football game and what's going on. Then I'm going to start going to Twitter just to throw stuff out there. I saw a few things. It kind of got me going. And, there that was all she wrote. So I definitely had a little fun with my thumbs in the first game.
Yeah, once we see F-bombs on Chris's Twitter account, that's no longer Pete Demolaitis. That's Chris himself. That's your signature. That's your signature that it's your tweet. The F-bomb is included. All right, plenty of F-bombs from 49ers fans in the first half. Plenty of F-bombs from Lions fans in the second half. We probably should cater to the 49ers fans over the course of the remainder of this segment, Chris, because I doubt many Lions fans are consuming any hair of the dog this morning. I know from my own experience, being on the wrong end of a heartbreak like that, I go on media blackout. At least I used to. I can't anymore because I'm in the media. But I remember vividly 25 years ago when Morton Anderson kicked the field goal to beat the Vikings in the 98 NFC Championship game. Like, I avoided everything for multiple days. No newspapers, no TV, no anything. I was Amish for like half of the week after that. I didn't want to see any of it. I wanted to fool myself into thinking it didn't happen.
I understand. The Lions fans are going to feel the same way. They might not like this full segment, but for right now, we're going to start with the 49ers and be happy. That's for sure, right? I mean, you know, like you said, first off, Lions came out biting kneecaps, all in your face, like not scared of the moment at all, right? I mean, like the 49ers had a kind of a, let's feel the game out, how are they going to play us, blah, blah, blah. And it looked like the Lions were like, we know how you're going to play it, how you're going to play us, and we're coming out throwing haymakers right from the start. And they had the 49ers backed up against the ropes early on in the football game. I mean, it was one big pass after another from Jared Goff. They were running the ball, right? You know, the 49ers miss a field goal. Then Brock Purdy throws the interception down the middle, and you're going, wow. I mean, this Lions defense that was pretty average all year, making the 49ers kind of look elementary and can't get anything going. Wow, this great 49ers defense, you know, been so good for so long. Doesn't even matter. 3rd and 10, 3rd and 18, whatever. Lions are converting. They're doing whatever they want. And we just hadn't seen that from the 49ers in any game other than the Ravens late in the year. So I think that's where it was shocking. And you felt like, oh, man, 24-7 at half. Lions got it going. They're a team that keeps the pedal on the metal usually throughout a football game. You know, what's going to happen here in the second half, as we know, because the 49ers are not a comeback team. This is something that's, you know, not one of the things that's very deep or a lot on the resume of Shanahan or Brock Purdy. So that's where it seemed like the deck was stacked against them, and they made an incredible comeback in the second half and really started to control the game from there on out.
Last weekend, when the Ravens were tied up with the Texans at halftime of their divisional round game in Baltimore,
right?
That was when Lamar Jackson went into the locker room and said some stuff, said some words he couldn't repeat at his press conference after the game. Brock Purdy and Peter King got together after the game, and it sounded boring what happened in the 49ers locker room. They said, you know, Fred Warner said a few things, Kyle said a few things, but it was all about getting refocused, refueled, and going back out there. Like, there was a quiet calm. There was a confidence that they could turn this around. And I don't know whether the experience on Christmas night against the Ravens gave them context, gave them, like, you know, but this is the mark of a championship team.
Yeah.
Where they can take a situation that it's very easy to say, just not our day, just not our time, we'll get them next year, and completely turn it and bend it to their will and just make it happen. And you don't have much of a chance to do it. First drive of the second half, you better do something.
Right.
And all they got was a field goal.
That's right. But got a little momentum going.
Like,
got it going
but,
a little.
But it's a little something.
Right.
And then it sets the stage for what's to come. And when we get done praising the 49ers, I'm sure we both have some things to say about the decisions made by Lions coach Dan Campbell to pass on field goals and go for it on fourth down. But that was the moment, I think. There's always that moment where you're like, the door's open. You thought the door was shut. Now the door's open. When the Lions go for it on fourth down with about 7 minutes left in the third quarter, trying to answer the scoring drive by the 49ers to get a field goal to start the half that made it 24-10, the drop by Josh Reynolds, that was the moment the door opened.
100%.
All right, 49ers, here's your chance now. What are you going to do? They opened the door for you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, listen, I think you know you said a lot of good things. There's two things that jump out to me there. One, right, is last week I think gave the 49ers confidence. A few times this year, when Brock Purdy needed to drive them down late in a football game, he did that. They haven't necessarily had that in the Jimmy Garoppolo era or anything like that. So there's a confidence in their quarterback, which there should be because he made some incredible plays last night. You know, incredible. Greg Olsen pointed a few of them out. You know, we know it's not Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen, but still, there were some plays last night that you went, that goes way above and beyond what Kyle Shanahan drew on the chalkboard or the playbook. That was like, hey, guys, don't worry. I'll make something happen here. Nothing's there. So I think that confidence in the quarterback and his ability to bring them back and what he did last week keeps the team fighting like you're talking about. And then their coach, their head coach. They know more times than not when their coach, it only takes them a matter of time before he starts to crack the code. You know, in the first half, hey, the Lions, we talked about it last week. They do some crazy stuff on defense. Some things sometimes that the quarterback and coach go, wait, that's not even sound. You shouldn't even be able to do that. And they do it. But obviously, Shanahan and company got a hold of the situation. And they became the aggressor in the second half. And then I think not only becoming the aggressor in the second half, Mike, to your point, they allowed the aggression to continue, in my opinion, with Dan Campbell and the decisions he made, which I think I don't want to sugarcoat it, I think are absolutely horrible decisions. Horrible. You go up three scores on the road when a team just is starting to gain a little confidence. We cut it to 14, but oh, man, they're outplayed us still the whole day so far. We're going to make it all about this moment. They're going to stop you. Jared Goff, you know, moving in the pocket. Not a great, like, off-schedule backyard thrower. And there they're going to go, hey, you guys got a little momentum here. Here's some more. Why don't you make it a little harder on us? And that, I agree with you, is the point in the football game where everything changed. Of course, that then leads to a touchdown drive, the ball off the Detroit defender, Brandon Ayuk catches it, and then leads to the Gibbs fumble. And like you said, that was the turning point to where you went, whoa, the 49ers were hoping to jump back in this thing, and now you've let them jump back in it, and they have all the momentum. And I thought that was a huge moment in the football game.
Remember last year when the Eagles got to the Super Bowl and they hit some adversity and they kind of tightened up and they changed their identity and they had never really been in that moment. The past two games helped the 49ers because this occurred to me while you were saying what you just said. The general approach for the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan, and I may be oversimplifying, but
no, I know what you're
let
saying
me draw up the plan.
Yeah.
Let me draw up the plan. Trust me, we run the plan that I draw up, we'll be fine.
Right.
Okay, that works until it doesn't. Then what are your answers on one of those nights where the plan that Kyle Shanahan drew up for whatever reason isn't working?
Yeah.
How do you regroup? How do you refocus? How do you recalibrate on the fly? And there were moments, and you and I both love studying demeanor of key contributors in a football game during the game because you can't hide your face.
Right.
You can't hide your body language. You can't play poker all the time on that sideline. And there were a couple of shots of Kyle where I could just tell he was freaking exasperated.
Right,
and
the first half.
Like, what the hell is
Yeah.
What the?
I'm
what
with you.
What is going on?
I'm
like,
with you.
What the hell is happening?
I told my and wife at one point in the second quarter, I was like, he's like in shell shock right now. He's not like this on the sideline. He was like, literally like, I can't figure it out. What are they doing? I don't know what's going on. And he's not like that, to your point. And you're right. I think he was definitely confused by the whole situation.
But what they're learning how to do is on those days when the best laid plans aren't playing out the way that they hoped,
right,
they're finding a way on the fly to make it happen. They're finding a way. Oh, and remember, he doesn't like the quarterbacks that make the off-schedule plays, because if they start making off-schedule plays, they're not doing the things I'm telling him to do. Now you got Brock Purdy, who's capable of pulling the ball down and doing a little Patrick Mahomes bob and weave and zig and zag through traffic and pick up yards. He had 48 yards rushing yesterday on plays where there wasn't anything there. And they don't think to have a – who's going to have a spy on Brock Purdy?
No.
So
big scrambles.
I mean, look, the kid who's had Tom Brady's shadow hanging over him, this vague notion of Kirk Cousins being available, that's all done now. Yesterday, he slammed the door on all that stuff. I'm still amazed it never came up last week, the things he said about Tom Brady to Nick Wagner of ESPN.com. I'm still amazed that wasn't a talking point. It had to be in his head. And the way he played yesterday should end that.
Yeah.
Should end that for the foreseeable future. If not forever.
I hear you there. Well, I think that's why you've seen Shanahan be so steadfast in his confidence for Brock Purdy. He saw these kind of things inside the player that made him believe he can pull us through these moments. Yeah. Maybe not. He's not, you know, Mahomes or Allen or Lamar Jackson, but can do some of that stuff, right? He's got a few of those moves and stuff in his playbook and his arsenal as well to go, hey, no problem. I can scramble on a big second down, a big third down, you know, early on in the football game, runs to the left, throws the ball back across the field to the middle of the field to convert on a third down. So he's shown us that ability, let alone, like you said, the ability to block out noise. I mean, that's where, you know, he's the quarterback of a team that had a guy named Joe Cool there and is the greatest quarterback in the history of the 49ers franchise. And Brock has got a coolness about him that I don't ever really see him have that look of like, wait, I'm befuddled. I don't know what to do. You know, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. And that gives their team confidence, and that allowed them to fight. Shanahan didn't get, like, you know, over-anxious or aggressive. He stayed with the running game and Christian McCaffrey still. They tweaked some things on the defensive side of the ball. And then I think, yes, you add on what I would call two horrible decisions by Dan Campbell. And those moments, I know that's how they got there, and that's what they do, you know. But that's not the right answer. The 49ers play cover four, and they played it all the first half, and they were getting killed doing it. They went into halftime and said, we got to adjust. They didn't go, this is what we do. Let's just keep getting killed. And that's where it's wrong. And that moment on the road, you have control of the football game. The 49ers are doing things. They're trying to regain momentum, and you help them do it. And then you have a chance, of course, to tie the football game in the NFC Championship game, have a chance to tie the game. And you go, no, we're going to win it right here. And you can't win it right there, but you can lose it. And that's basically what Dan Campbell and the Lions did at the end of the football game.
Okay, so it's funny. I have a dilemma here. We both really want to talk about Dan Campbell's decisions.
I know.
I'm trying to keep us on track
for
49ers.
It keeps going back there, Mike. I'm sorry.
But you know what? But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I understand there's not going to be many Lions fans watching and listening today. They're going to be on media blackout. But for football fans generally, these are important points. And this is where... And I've already pissed off the analytics crowd, and I don't care about pissing them off anymore. I think what's happened is this whole analytics concept has been around long enough that people are starting to understand the limitations of the mindset. And the great irony here is, and I think I've finally figured out an example of irony, they call it analytics, which has a highfalutin, highbrow, high-thinking vibe to it. It's analytics, right? We're smarter than you because we use analytics. But analytics can create situations where you become stubbornly reckless because you just do this. We're being aggressive. Analytics, be aggressive. And you set aside the calm thoughtful, strategic thinking. And that's the challenge. It's like you got a boxing ring and you got a table with a chessboard. You go into the boxing ring and you kick the shit out of the opponent for a while. And then there's a point where you got to go to the chess table. There's a point where you've gotten your victory in the boxing ring. You're up 17. Now you got to be smart. Great first half. You know what the second half is about? It's about milking the clock. It's about getting to 0-0-0 in the fourth quarter. It's about getting out of there with a win. There's a point where you got to stop throwing haymakers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to miss one of those haymakers, and they're going to catch you with an uppercut, and then you're done.
It's a great way to say it.
And that's the challenge here for Dan Campbell.
Right.
Dan Campbell wants to go in and bite kneecaps.
Yeah.
There's a point where you got to take the kneecap that you've bitten and cut it up and savor it. And you got to think.
Right.
And you got to think about what you're doing or you're going to choke on it.
Yeah, exactly right. Keep working on that kneecap. Just keep wearing it down. Keep the pressure going. That to me is the point there. All the pressure was on the 49ers at that moment. It's 24-10, sure. Yes, they're feeling like, hey, we got the field goal, right? But they're not like feeling great like you said about the field goal where they're like, well, we're definitely back in this. And then there you are moving the ball down the field right away, once again, recapturing momentum. And then you dangle it out there in a moment where it's an easy field goal. We know. I mean, it's yes, I know it's not guaranteed, but it's above 90% from where they're kicking right there, or at least it's right around there. And you do that to continue to apply the pressure and keep momentum on your side, keep self-doubt on their side. You play the field position game that way better, right? You kick a field goal. You go up by 17. You know, who knows what happens after that? The 49ers might panic now and go, whoa, we're past the halfway point in the third quarter, and it's 17. Oh, no. Now maybe they get away from the run game or some of the things they might have just hung in there with, become more one-dimensional. And I think, yeah. Not only do I not like that decision, but of course, when you have a chance to tie the NFC Championship game at 27-all, you know me. This is not new. I've been talking about Dan Campbell and the Lions all year on here on the podcast, that this was a scary way to live, and then they were just barely getting by, and of course, it all came back to bite him in the ass last night.
Yeah, you live by aggressive, you die by aggressive.
Yeah.
There's a point where you shouldn't be aggressive. And I think unpredictable is so much better than being aggressive because your opponent figures out your patterns. Your opponent understands this is what you're going to do. Hey, guys, just keep going out there and doing your thing because this team is going to give us an opening at some point because they're going to do something aggressive that blows up in their face and we're going to have a chance to go steal it from them, which is exactly what happened. And I saw some chatter last night. I'm looking at Michael Badgley's career stats. He is not great 40-49, 37-48 in his career. So that's not 90%. And I saw some people saying, well, he hasn't made a 40-plus yard field goal outdoors in 3 years or whatever. You know, people throw around stats. You don't know if they're true or not. But I'll say this. If you have any doubt about your kicker making a 45-yard field goal, you get a different kicker. Because in this day and age, 45 is no longer what it was when I was growing up. 45 was an impressive field goal
was the point
when I was growing up.
Right.
45 is an easy, makeable field goal. No excuses. Right. Put it through. And if you can't, we're going to find somebody else who can. Because there's plenty of guys out there who can. And in that point, when you have – and, we, you know, Chris, talk about this too. Because this is something that we say from time to time. 7-0. Ooh. 14-0. Ooh. All right. No, it's 2-0. Think of it like soccer. It's 2-0. And when it's a 17-point margin, it's 2.5. And it's 3 scores. You got to think of it that way. The number of times that you've got to possess the ball and do something with it, touchdown or field goal, 2-pointer, 1-pointer, whatever, you do the math and it comes up to 3 scores. So it was a 2-score game, 24-10. It's not about 3 points. It's about third score. You got to force them, and you think about that. And I can remember watching games growing up. If the team you're rooting for goes down 17, it's just a knife in the stomach. Like, 17 means we got to get the ball, and we got to do something good with it 3 times. Not twice, 3 times. So you throw back the chance to go up 3 scores. whatever the reason, oh, Josh Reynolds should have caught it. Well, that's the risk you take when you throw the ball. Every time you throw the ball in a football game, there's a risk that the receiver is going to drop it.
Yeah.
That's part of the risk you take when you go for it on fourth down.
And it wasn't a good throw either.
Quarterback might make a bad throw.
In the quarterback room, they're going to be like, Jared Goff, you need to throw a better ball too. You'd like the receiver to catch it, like you said. But it's on both of them right there.
But that's all the risk that you take. When you go for it on fourth down, everything that happens in the execution of the play is part of the risk you take when you go for it on fourth down. But then you open the door. That's why I keep saying that was the moment. That's it. You throw everything else away. That's the moment they open the door. Because now we're down two scores, and they're putting it right out there. Let's go take it. Let's go take it from they don't want to play chess in the second half, up 14 and about to go up 17 again. Fine. We'll play chess. And then when we get our chance, we'll climb back into the boxing ring and we'll knock them out. And it's look, I hope for Dan Campbell's sake, he learns from this. We are the only organism on the planet capable of learning from our mistakes. He needs to admit it was a mistake, and he needs to learn from it, Chris, because when he's in this spot the next time, he needs to be ready to shift from full contact, no holds barred, kneecap biting MMA to sitting down across from Garry Kasparov and playing chess.
Right.
And that's what he needs to be able to do in those moments. Step back and say, wait a minute. We don't need to keep swinging blindly to try to knock the guy out. We got him. Let's get to zero. That's our goal right now. Get to zero. Forget about it. No more kneecap biting. Let's just get to zero.
No.
And that's where he failed. And that's why Lions fans are going to be upset about it when they reflect on it. There's something that's going to be gnawing at them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be our coach didn't manage and engineer this thing to a victory, and he could have and he should have.
No, exactly right. They were outplaying a football team on the road on their way to the Super Bowl, and they made a self-inflicted mistake to allow the other team momentum, get back in the game, control the game at the end of the football game. It's almost like they were more living by, like, hey, that's our slogan right there. I gotta live to that slogan I put on the door. Aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. When in the fact of the matter is, if you kicked a field goal, went up 17, you win the football game. Everybody would have gone like, man, those aggressive Lions, they came in, you know, not scared of anything, throwing the football, third down conversions, and just kept the pressure on the 49ers all night long. They were just aggressively the better team all night. But instead, it had to be like, it's got to be fourth down aggressive. It's got to be crazy aggressive. I can't ever reevaluate. And that's been the issue with them all year, period. Whether you want to go to, like, the bad fake punt call on Thanksgiving against the Packers or a stupid two-point conversion call from the seven-yard line against the Cowboys, right? That's another one. So this is what they are, and this is where they wanted to play with fire, and they got their ass burned last night. They played a team. Again, the analytics don't go. The analytics can't go, wait, it's fourth and two and fourth and three. Oh, it's the 49ers. They got a bunch of badass mofos on their D-line. They know we're probably going to throw it here. Their defensive line coach probably said, just rush the passer. Don't even worry about the run. They know it's a big moment. They're going to probably play in a more aggressive coverage than they usually do. Wait, so how do the analytics, can they can take into account all that stuff that, like, they know what's going through Joey Bosa's blood and heart and soul in that moment? Oh, that's right. Joey Bosa went around the edge and made Jared Goff move and throw on the third down. That's the BS analytics crowd. I'm just not going to get you're not going to get me to. I'm sorry. I've been on the field. I've seen the emotions and what it does on the sideline, and I'm not trying to be like I played guy and all that, Mike. I hope you know I'm not taking it that way. But No. I felt those moments before. And there's a feeling on the field, on the sideline, whenever, when one team just continually has an answer and you're just like, oh, damn, we thought we had a chance. Now we're down 17. It's, ooh, they got an answer for us all night long. And there's something to that, and that to me is where they dropped the ball.
Well, and people far smarter than me have explained this, and it's absolutely right. The numbers that we see, the percentages that we see, when the ESPN graphic at the bottom of the screen says go, and I think it only has one setting, go. ESPN analytics right. say go. I've never seen it say anything other than go. Those numbers are all the product of thousands of iterations over and over and over again. And, you know, we've talked about this before, like 48.9%, you'll make it, 43.2% or whatever. And at times it's like, and it doesn't matter because there's only one shot when you're trying to get to the Super Bowl. You have one iteration. You have one moment. And you have to take into account everything that is happening in that moment. That's why experience matters for a head coach. That's why I continue to be astounded. Although I understand why certain team executives and general managers and other people in other departments don't want Bill Belichick to come in and fire everybody. You want Bill Belichick on that sideline. You want somebody who's been doing it 50 years, not somebody who's been doing it 3 years. You want somebody who understands how to process all that stuff, all that emotion, all those times that he's been in that fray.
Right.
And he understands instinctively what's right to do. And it's not just, hey, I'm always aggressive, I'm going to keep being aggressive. And that's why I say I hope Dan Campbell learns from this. You can't just say, I'm always this or I'm always that, because then you become predictable and your opponent can figure out how to beat you because you're too predictable and they're going to use that against you. Let's hear from Dan Campbell talking about the decisions, the two key decisions in the second half on fourth down where they could have gone up three scores with 7 minutes left in the third quarter and then they could have tied the game with 7.5 minutes left in the fourth. Here he is.
I just felt really good about us converting and getting our momentum and not letting them play long ball. You know, they were bleeding the clock out. That's what they do. And I wanted to get the upper hand back, you know, and it's easy hindsight, and I get it, you know. I get that. But I don't regret those decisions, and that's hard. You know, it's hard because, you know, we didn't come through. It wasn't able to work out, but I don't. And I understand the scrutiny I'll get. That's part of the gig, man. But, you know, we just didn't work out.
He's teetering toward understanding the problem. He's getting there. He's not going to admit that he regrets it in that moment. But when he said, you know, we want to keep the upper hand or whatever, you had the upper hand. You had
right,
the upper hand.
Right. Well,
the field goal gives you the upper hand.
Exactly.
The field goal gives you three scores.
And he says they were bleeding the clock and I want to go challenge flag. That up to that point, when it was 24-10, they were not bleeding the clock yet. They had not been that offense yet. So that wasn't, I don't know if that kind of takes him into like a, you know,
that was the second one.
That's what he said.
Kind of got him.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Maybe that's what he's mean, because certainly it wasn't a case of the first one, right? But the second one, okay, if that's his logic, I still don't love that logic. You're right, but yes, you know, I think you're there's a little bit of like realization of it as he's talking there, Mike. I don't disagree with you there.
The second one, I can get behind the idea in theory that we don't want to tie the game up with 7.5 minutes left and give it to them and let them bleed the clock all the way down. At one point, I thought the Lions weren't getting the ball back. At one point, I thought it was just ending 27-24.
Right.
I thought the 49ers would just, because it was kind of like what was going on in the Bills-Chiefs game last week. There was a moment where you're like, you know what? The Bills understand what's going on here. They're just going to bleed it all the way down, and they're not letting the other team get back
right
on the field. Now,
right.
Christian McCaffrey busts a long run, and then Purdy had a scramble on that drive, too, that forced the issue and got the 49ers too close to the end zone to let them run it out. But I get the idea that if we give them the ball back, they may drive down and score a touchdown, and we may not have enough time to answer. I understand that. The earlier one, though, you throw back the chance to go up three scores again. And let him bleed the clock. Go ahead. We're up three scores. Bleed the hell out of the clock. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take all the time you want on, I mean, you know, because we saw it in the earlier game where the Ravens just like, do they realize it's a fourth quarter? Like, hey, we're taking our time.
Yeah,
No. There's a sense of urgency. And see, that's the key. And this is where analytics cannot Because they'll say, oh, we have a formula for that. Bullshit! Sorry, say it, don't spray it. There's a point where you just have to understand the sense of urgency that you put into that team. When you go back up three scores, what's going to happen? They're going to press a little bit more. They're going to maybe make a decision they shouldn't have made. They're maybe going to throw the ball a little quicker than they should have.
Exactly
before
right.
The guy breaks open.
Right.
And oh,
maybe they were going to run the ball right here, but now they're scared because it's a 30-score game, and they're like, oh, I don't want to run the ball here. And now all of a sudden the game becomes a little bit, you know, one-sided and a little predictable because now they're worried about not running the ball and the clock, and they're throwing the ball, which is going to help you as a defense, and you're going to be able to play that tendency. So I'm with you. I just that to me is 100% where they drop the ball. And I think, you know, you bring up a good thing. Hey, the 49ers are legit, Mike, like we know, right? I mean, they're talented. This ain't their first rodeo. They still got a number of guys that were a part of the team that lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 4 years ago. So they understand what this type of football is like. And this was the first time we saw them in this kind of position in this kind of game, right? And that's where, hey, you know, look at Kyle Shanahan. You talk about Dan Campbell experience. He's taken a lot of lumps over the years about blowing leads, maybe not doing things the right way. You know, that experience is probably made Shanahan better in these situations, let alone now he's got a quarterback that can do these type of things. And they totally took control of the second half after that moment. I mean, five straight scoring drives, just right down your throat, kind of do whatever they want. Once that Brandon Ayuk, you know, off the helmet or off the defender catch, and then the Jahmyr Gibbs fumble right after that, you went, uh-oh, the 49ers are back. And, yeah, that's where it's refreshing to see the 49ers answer breakdown barriers this way, not only for Shanahan and because he's taking a lot of crap for blowing leads, but, yeah, they've been a lot of talk about them not coming back late in football games and being one of those type of teams. And here's 2 weeks in a row they've done that. And, of course, that'll serve them well with the next animal and beast they got to deal with as far as the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely. And that throw and catch, I mean, shades of Lynn Swann in Super Bowl
Incredible.
10. Not exactly apples to apples, but the kind of catch you rarely see. And it's the kind of thing, and this is what I love and hate about this game. Because for all the effort, all the work, all the preparation, all the time, all the investment, all the hours away from your family, everything you do to try to engineer an outcome, what happens?
Yeah.
Crazy, fluky bounce of the ball.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That just happens to, now, great athletic play by Brandon Ayuk, but at least it was within the range of a makeable play. That ball bounces a little bit to the left or the right, and he's got no chance at it. It's all about those moments, and it's a combination of skill and luck, but luck is part of it. And that's another aspect of this that analytics can't take into account. The feeling, if you're the Lions, of the, holy, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I guess it's not our day after all. How do you process that in real time and then get it back your way? And they still had a chance after that, obviously. But it all adds up to that sense of momentum. And you can feel it through the TV screen when the momentum is changing in a big game like that. And when something like that happens, everything that was pointing toward the Lions starts pointing the other way. And the challenge is to know how to push it back your way. That's where experience matters. I think that's the one thing we overlooked in this.
Yeah.
Experience matters. And, Chris, if you've learned from bad experience, good experience gives you confidence in that setting. And we're going to spend the next segment. Hang on, Chiefs fans. We're getting there. We're going to spend the next segment talking about the value of good experience and the confidence that it brings, especially when you're going up against a team with no experience in those moments. But I think we're hitting the nail on the head here. For as much as Dan Campbell needs to learn from this bad experience, your friend Kyle has learned from his own bad experiences. And he's learned how to take that guy who in the second quarter just looked like he didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
And can we just end this damn thing and give them the trophy and get the hell out of here? And to turn it his way and to make it happen. And when you do that 2 weeks in a row, oh, that makes it a lot easier to hold a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left if you have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and they're on the ropes and you don't want to let them back in with Jet Chip Wasp with the long throw to Tyreek Hill. And the next thing you know, you lose by 11 when you were just up by 10.
Yeah, no, I you know, again, that's why I think we both agree Shanahan's one of the best coaches in football. He continues to adjust, learn, reevaluate, self-scout thyself, as we say, right, and figure out the best way to win football games. And, yeah, he's been in this moment on the other side, right? He has a little bit. And, again, that's where I get back into momentum, karma, right, whatever you want to talk about. And this is where you go for it. It's 24-10. You could go up three scores. Defense is sitting there. The Lions defense is sitting on the sidelines going, you know, we go for it a good amount. We get it a lot. So they're kind of just sitting there watching. Hey, we expect to get it. Oh, wait, they didn't get it? Oh, okay, we got to run out there. Oh, hey, guys, defense, okay, we're out there. Put your helmet on. Oh, okay, the fans are going crazy. The other team's excited now. They got to stop. Shanahan knows, hey, I've been in this situation the other way before. You know, they're going to be a little bit like, oh, I can't believe we didn't get that. Oh, man, and flustered. What does he come out? Boom, pass to Deebo Samuel, rips off 17 or 18 yards. Here comes the momentum change and the train. And then that gives them the ability, the next play or the play after, to say, hey, I'm throwing it deep to Ayuk here. We got it rolling. Let's go. And it never stopped from that point on. It never did. Ayuk gets it. He catches that ball. They score a touchdown. The defense makes a big play on Jahmyr Gibbs. Short field, touchdown. And all of a sudden, you and me are sitting there going, man, that coach of the 49ers, you look confused. And they looked like a different team. Oh, bam, all of a sudden we're in a tight football game. It's tied at home in San Francisco, and they got all the momentum. And, again, I think it can all go back to, like, what you said to start the show, the turning point, that one play, whatever. That was a huge momentum swing, and we never.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt Mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
Save big money on protecting your garden. Now at Menards. Messina's Animal Stopper is a liquid repellent that prevents pesky animals from damaging your garden. Available in a convenient, ready-to-use bottle. It lasts for up to 30 days, regardless of weather and watering. Save big money on Messina's Animal Stopper at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Let me give you a brief history of analytics, because I think last night's game is a watershed moment in how we should think about it. And you know what? I don't care if it makes the analytics crowd upset. I think that's part of reaching this watershed. We have to not care about pushing back on the people who think they're smarter than the rest of us, and they think that football can be reduced to a mathematical equation, because it can't.
No.
It started as calculations and a logical, reasoned basis for doing something that would seem to be unconventional. And that's how it was 15 years ago. If you're a coach and you had a decision to make, and one way was conventional, the other way was unconventional. If you took the unconventional route and it failed, it was a hell of a lot harder to deal with reporters, to deal with your owner, to deal with your fan base, because you chose the thing that was generally regarded as unconventional. So we would see a lot of coaches just always do the conventional thing. Because if the conventional thing goes wrong, how can you criticize me? I did what everybody does. I went in Rome.
Right.
This is what we always do.
Right.
I did the conventional thing. So analytics provided an avenue for coaches to do unconventional things. And the analytics said to do it. And it was almost like giving a kid who never drank before his first taste of alcohol. And some of these coaches got drunk on this idea that now I've got license to do the unconventional thing whenever I want. I can just do the unconventional thing. And you know what I can say? You know what I can say when they ask me about it? You know what I can say, Chris? You know what I'm going to say. When they ask me why
we're just trying to win. We're trying to be aggressive. Just trying to be aggressive. Trying to win the game.
Aggressive.
Aggressive.
We're being aggressive.
Trying to win the game. Aggressive.
And that short circuits. Here's the thing. That short circuits the media, the fans, and the owner, because there's some formula out there that supports you. Because I don't think Dan Campbell made these decisions based on analytics. I think Dan Campbell has adopted a mindset of be aggressive all the time, thanks to this world of analytics where you can find a formula to support anything you want to do. So you no longer get criticized for doing something unconventional. You don't get criticized for not going up three scores with 7 minutes left in the third quarter when you could have and should have, unless you don't trust your kicker, and that's a different problem altogether. And so what started as math has become this thing where I'm just going to be reckless. I'm going to be aggressive. And the math, some way, somehow, the math is going to support me. I'll find a formula that supports me because all these analytics formulas support being aggressive. It's the damnedest thing. And I hope that the football community wakes up to what we have created by, number one, letting it in. Number two, being afraid of angering the analytics crowd because they're smarter than us and they're going to stuff us in a locker. And let's just remember what this ultimately is. It is a physical contest. It is emotional. There are a lot of factors that go into it. And anybody that has ever been in any competitive environment, I don't care whether it's football, basketball, baseball, ping pong, I don't care. You know that there is a real human emotion that goes into it. There are ebbs and flows. There's momentum. And you can't quantify it. And you have to know when you've got the other side on the ropes, you have to know how to properly punch them through. And that's where Dan Campbell failed last night. He had the 49ers on the ropes. He could have gone up three scores. And that's the thing. Instead of just giving them a little shove, he kept wanting to do the big windup.
No doubt about
like
it.
Like in the cartoon, the big windup knockout punch.
Right.
When all he had to do, Chris, was just give him a little shove.
Yeah, agreed. All they had to do was just keep working the body. Keep contact coming. And the 49ers were going to fold. They were. And, yeah, that's where Dan Campbell. And, again, I'm all for following the mantra and what you are as a football team and what got you there. So I don't want that to be lost. But, you know, you alluded to this a little earlier. There's a point where it's like, yeah, this is what we do, right? But we don't do it to such a point where we bite off our nose to spite our face, or we just do it because this is our mantra and this actually doesn't make sense here. I think that's where it got a little out of hand. That's where some of these teams, I think, buy into that a little too much. Whether it's the Cleveland Browns, you know, in the wild card round, we blitz, we play man-to-man. Yeah, but he's throwing bombs, C.J. Stroud, all over the field. I know this is what you do, but they know too. So you got to freaking change it up. Like Dallas Cowboys, Dan Quinn. So I understand that this is what you do, but this is also championship level football. The other team knows what you do. The other team's really good. The other team has coaches that can think outside the box and adjust, and you got to play that way. It could have been easy for Shanahan down 24-7 to go, oh, it's 4th and 8. I got to go for it. I'm sure the analytics, like you said go, even though it was 24-7. He could have certainly said go. My field goal kicker already missed an easy field goal. I don't trust it. I don't want to go for it, right?
Because
that's
point.
The analytics crowd
gotta
thing,
be aggressive.
Too.
Got to be aggressive.
Got to be aggressive.
Can't get back in the game if we're
and
not aggressive.
That's the analytics argument always, too, as well. If you guarantee me the guy will make the field goal, then maybe I wouldn't have gone for it. Well, like nothing's a guarantee. I mean, kiss my butt with that talk, right? So they went for it 24-10 and chipped away at it. But they weren't going to be aggressive, like you said, or be scared by a moment that happened earlier in the game or whatever. They just continued to play and work the body and see if they can just slowly wear down the Lions. And then that's exactly what they did.
And this is why I think it's foolish to retreat to this idea, this is who we are. Like you said, and like I said earlier, your opponent studies who you are. Your opponent knows who you are. There's some Sun Tzu Art of War shit in here somewhere where,
yeah, right.
You know, and I'm sure that there's a quote from that book that would apply here. And if I knew the book well enough, I'd share it with you. But at some level, consciously or not, Kyle Shanahan, when he kicked that field goal, had to be thinking, let's just get the three here because you know what? There's a chance Johnny Kneecaps is gonna make it easier for us. There's a chance because we know what they are. They're going to aggressive their way into opening the door for us. And he's prescient. He's brilliant. If he was thinking what happened, but look at what happened. We got to within two scores. That's all that mattered. The field goal is just a way to get within two scores. Still two scores.
Right.
Touchdown or field goal. Still two scores. We got to within two scores. Now let's see. Let's see what happens. And aggressive kept the Lions from going back up three scores and instead kept it at two scores. And that was the moment that the game was lost. Everything after that's detail. That was the moment the game was lost when they didn't go back up 17 points and three scores with 22 minutes to play. They didn't play chess. They kept swinging and it blew up on them. Kudos to the 49ers for understanding that. You want to be unpredictable, Chris. You don't want to be any one thing. College, you can get away with it because you're physically superior.
Right.
This is who we are. This is what we do, and no one can beat us. At the NFL level, anyone can beat you. And if you wear on your sleeve what you are, that makes it easier to eventually beat you. You can ride it all the way through the regular season. You can ride it through the first two rounds of the playoffs. At some point, if you continue to be what you've been the whole year, they're going to get you.
Agreed. You can't be stubborn to that point where it becomes predictable, like you said. I think that's the big thing. And the 49ers, a team with championship merit, a championship caliber head coach, they're the type of team when you slip up or make that wrong move, they can take advantage of it. And that's all they needed. They just needed a little help, a little something to kind of get them going, get them over the edge. Get them feeling like, okay, we're back. Here we are. We're playing 49er football again. And that, to me, is where the Lions help them do that. And that's where I don't agree with it. And, of course, the 49ers did a great job of taking advantage of it.
All right, fittingly, 49 minutes on the 49ers and the Lions will break when we come back. The Chiefs getting back to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in six seasons. We'll talk about that game next here on PFT Live.